comment.
I'm not sure if the verse was read yesterday, but Galatians 2 verse 16 says, "But knowing that a man is not justified on the principle of works of law, nor but by the faith of Jesus Christ, we also have believed on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified on the principle of the faith of Christ, and not of works of law, because on the principle of works of law, no flesh shall be justified."
Yeah. Good verse.
Okay. Comments? Any other younger brothers? Something you don't understand? Something you'd like to make clear? We're in a progression. We want to see. Yesterday, Tony has just brought before us again the justifier. God is the not only just, but he's the justifier of him that believeth. And we saw that a man came to a conclusion. The conclusion he came to was the very same collusion that God had come to. Now we find these wonderful verses here. There's a progression, okay? We're going forward. And it's not perhaps too difficult for us, because we don't understand, we don't have a lot written about Abraham when he was in the air of the Chaldees. We imagine, I think we rightly imagine, that he was from the land of idolatry, no doubt steeped in it. But this wondrous change has come into his life. And now he's set before me as the first example that God has justified an ungodly man. And he has accounted it unto him for righteousness. The next one we might have a little more problems with, because we do have the account of David and Bathsheba. And we're thinking, wow, how can that be? That there was unfaithfulness. There was murder. I mean, this was King David. This is what he was guilty of. Look at what it says. Even as David. I don't read anything here about what David did. I don't read anything of the account of what he had done. David also described the blessedness. That's the happiness. They come from the same root word. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness, mark it, without works. David stood in all the value of the work of Christ that was going to yet be done. Tony has just said, David looked forward to the cross. I look backwards to the cross. David looked forward to that. Those animals that were slain, they were the witness that the finality of Calvary had not yet come in. But look at what it says here. This is David that can say this. Blessed are they whose iniquities, this is a wonderful word, dear young person, forgiven. Forgiven, not forgotten, not as though they didn't happen, but recognizing that they did happen, the price has been paid. The Lord Jesus has been into death for David and all that he did. So he said, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy. Happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So these two examples take us from chapter 3 into chapter 5. Therefore, chapter 5 is going to begin with. And there stands the two men as tremendous examples for us. As men that were ungodly, men that had iniquities, men that had both been forgiven in the eyes of God. Questions? Comments, young men? There are any. We don't want to go too fast. Yesterday I was told we missed some comments. So if you have something that you want to say, this is a good time.
have a question. Somebody given it to me. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
It said, if there is none righteous, of course, that's what the scripture said. Why does the Bible say that people like Noah and Job were righteous men? Very good questions.
What do you think, guys? Help us out.
Well, I think that it's like Abraham and David. Noah was a righteous man because he believed God. Mm-hmm. And this was counted as, for him it was why he was righteous, because he believed God, believed his word.
But we also read that Noah failed. So mm-hmm. It's not a lie when the Bible says that there is none righteous. So,
Tony reminded us of God's Hall of Fame. Sorry, there's a comment.
I think verse 5 really answers the question that it's...
Chapter what?
Chapter 4, verse 5. But to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Mm-hmm. So despite your own unrighteousness, you can be accredited righteousness from God.
So yesterday, the Hall of Fame, God's Hall of Fame, was put before us. And you will recognize as you read Hebrews chapter 11 that every individual that is mentioned there, what they did by faith. That is the answer to that question. It was faith that was operative. Now, the Spirit of God is setting before us in this document that Emil was talking about. He's setting before us two men who stand apart, if you could say it that way. Abraham, the father of the faithful. King David, the one that the Lord typified, the Lord Jesus in the day to come. Both of these are set before us as pinnacles in this chapter to call our attention to them. It's almost as if it were like Paul saying, if I could be saved, anybody could be saved. That's what Paul said. I was a rude, insolent, overbearing man. This is what he said of himself. But I've been set forth as an example that I'm the chief of sinners. So here were two men that the Spirit of God highlights them for us amongst all of the godly of the Old Testament. And he says, they are the examples that I will use to lead you into understanding that I justify by faith, not by works.